to Luke chapter 4. Now, you know, I shared with you last week, and this is a little bit different for me. This is a little bit out of my comfort zone, in that I'm not trying to finish a message or an outline. You actually have two outlines, front and back, on your in your bulletin. If you look at that, I filled in the blanks for you under part one of what where we ended up last week, and we're going to pick it up on point number three. But I want to read the text again to you from Luke chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." So Lord, open our understanding this morning as we come to your word. And I pray you would take the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth and make them acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God and Redeemer, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is such an important topic. I decided I'm going to go through it very slowly, and I'm going to cover things in the pace that I believe and I feel that the Lord is leading me to. That means if I get off on a tangent for a while, we're going to camp there, because I find so many people that I meet, Christians, well-meaning, and I was one of them, who want to walk in victory. They want to walk in victory, but they just get tripped up by little temptations. The Bible says in the Song of Solomon, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, not the big ones. It's the things you can't see. It's the things that run underfoot and trip you up. It's the things that catch you by surprise. And so we want to look at this, how to overcome temptation. I got an email this week, and someone was asking me the question about whether this, they said, we don't hear you using the term backsliding very much, but isn't this what you're talking about, backsliding, when a Christian who knows the Lord falls back into an old pattern of life and then they fail? And isn't that what the Bible talks about is backsliding? I said, yes, it is. But I don't like to use the term backsliding. It is a biblical term. But if you look when it's used, it's not used in a real positive light when God talks to backsliding Israel, is it? And so I thought, I'm making up a whole new term. Those of you who know me, I do this. And I love to do this. And here's what I want to focus on: principles of victory and overcoming. I don't want to focus on principles of failure. Now, is it true every Christian backslides? Yes. All of you have fallen backwards, right? You have said, I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm going to walk victoriously, only to do the wrong thing when you didn't want to do it, and you went, whoa, where did that come from? That's what we term backsliding. But I want to use a new term. And the term I want to use, I want to call forward sliding. It's not in the Bible, I just made it up. And here's what I'm trying to get at. I know along the way I'm going to trip and fall. Just like I knew, this is why I was scared to learn how to ride my bike, I knew I was going to fall and skin my knees. So that kept me with training wheels for a big portion of my bike career. So I don't like to know that I'm going to fall, but here's the deal. I know I'm going to fall, but I want to start falling forward. That means when I trip, I want to keep my focus forward, principles of overcoming. I can be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, washed clean, forgiven, rise up and keep going in the right direction. I don't want to start going backwards in my life anymore. I hope you're with me. So we're going to talk about forward sliding. I want to be a forward sliding Christian. I like it. So we talked about the Spirit-filled life, just in summary. We talked about the sense of freedom. We talked about the problem of freedom. Then we talked about the Spirit-filled life and temptation, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon our life, we don't have a life devoid of difficulty or temptation. In fact, many times God leads us right through them. He takes us into times of difficulty. He never tempts us with evil. We talked about that last week. He is not the author of temptation. Read the book of James. When we're tempted, it says we're tempted by Satan and our flesh. The enemy is the author of temptation. Our flesh is the agent. It's like a magnet. If you have only one half of a magnet, it doesn't attract anything. But if you have another attracting force, boom. And so when my flesh is alive, my sinful nature is gaining dominance in my life, and the enemy comes in with temptation, there can be that attraction and that failure. So God is never the author of temptation, but He doesn't lead us forward in a bubble. We are not living in a bubble. We're living in a sinful, fallen world, and all around us, every single day, we are tempted to do the wrong thing. How about young people when you're at school? Walking down the halls. Every day, you have the opportunity to do the wrong thing. I hear what's going on in the public schools, even in our city of Weatherford and in Aledo, in these areas, that there's drugs happening in the hallways. There's even sex happening in the hallways. And some people have even become pregnant at school. Now, I had a problem sneaking in bubble gum when I was a kid. And now they're taking guns and drugs. And every day there's an opportunity to make the wrong choice. Adults, every day there's an opportunity to make the wrong choice. So we need to understand that God doesn't put us in a bubble, but He gives us a provision. He empowers us. Number three, the Holy Spirit does not walk us into temptation, but He empowers us to go through it. Temptation and trials are at every turn, but the Holy Spirit's power enables us to go through it. I just want to read you a few verses. Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me, if you can keep up. Matthew 6, verse 13, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, this is how you are to pray. You say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus, in His high priestly prayer in John 17, verses 13 to 19, said this, and most Christians don't really understand this concept, because I always hear them say, oh, I just wish I could work at a Christian place of employment where everybody just listened to Christian music and they talked about Jesus. What a wonderful thing that would be. That's not just a wonderful thing. That's what we're doing right now in church. We're hanging out with fellow believers. We're in an environment where we're doing all the God stuff. And meanwhile, there are people out there dying spiritually every day. John 17 says this, behold, now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. Notice the key is the word of God. I have given them your word. This is Jesus talking to the Father. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just stop there for a moment and think of the fact that when the world starts telling you you're great, you have to wonder if you're preaching the right message. There's a lot of messages coming out of the pulpit today that are motivational speaking. They're not the gospel. when all I want to talk about is I'm highly favored and you're highly favored and only be around people who encourage your highly favoredness, I'm giving you a motivational speech. I'm not giving you the gospel. Now, am I highly favored? Yes. But am I also kind of messed up and needing of healing and I need to understand the parts of me that aren't highly favored? Yeah. I need to hear it all. Because if I only hear that which tickles my ears, it's really moving me further and further away from center. He said, I've given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Verse 15, listen, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. There's the Lord's prayer again. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't take them out of the world, Father. They got to be there. They're salt and light. They are the people who are going to carry on my ministry. They're the only ones who can tell the lost that I am their Savior. Don't take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your what? Truth. Your word is true. And as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So God calls us to go into the world. Now, Hannah goes to a Christian school. And a lot of people could say, well, Kirk, you're contradicting yourself. You know, here you got your daughter isolated in a wonderful Christian school. Why isn't she out in the world as being a light? Well, she was in a public school, and we started out in public school. And the only reason we're not in a public school right now is because for her learning needs, they weren't responding, and we had to do something for her learning. But let me tell you, not every Christian child should be in a Christian school. It has to be led by the Lord and the Spirit and for that child's needs. Because if we pulled all the light out of the schools, then where's going to be the light in the public schools? Just like every teacher shouldn't be teaching at a Christian school and every person shouldn't be working at a Christian ministry. We need to be out there in the world, not hiding. Remember that old song as a kid, hiding under a bushel? No. Yeah, I'm going to let it shine. And so Jesus prayed that. Now, do you think Jesus' prayer is going to get answered? Yeah, amen. Psalm 23, 1-4, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk, and what's the word? Through. No, but stop at that one word, through. God always takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of temptation, the times of difficulty. He'll take us through. We have to be willing to walk with him. Some of you remember the episode, Seinfeld episode of Bubble Boy. I won't even go there. We're not living in a bubble. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to get your hands soiled with the ink of your Bible pages. Because here's the deal. I've said this to God. I'm just too weak. I can't overcome that area of my life. So I know you love me anyway. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Well, yes, he loves me anyway. And I thank him for his mercy and grace, but it's not true that I can't overcome. It's a choice. We have to make a decision on whether we're going to believe the Bible or we're going to believe ourselves. Young people, you need to believe the Bible. You can't sit and create a philosophy of life based on what you think. You have to say, what does God say? That judge in Northern California based his decision on what he thought, not what God thought. 1 Corinthians 10, now the first part, verses 1 to 11, talks about the Old Testament saints. And it talks about everything they went through. All of their grumbling, their victories, their complaining, their forgiveness, their sin, the whole cycle of their life. Everything they went through was for us to learn and gain as an example so we don't make the same mistakes. And yet sometimes I see myself just like the children of Israel in that cycle. I call it the Ferris wheel. I get trapped on the Ferris wheel of life and I want to get off. But the operator doesn't hear me. Stop it! He doesn't hear me. And I want to get off that thing. Well, here's the deal. Verse 11 says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Stop right there. We cannot be prideful in this area. We cannot sit back and say, you know what? Preach it on, Brother Kirk, because there are some people in here who really need to hear that. I need to hear that. Because I need to know that I'm always one step away from falling. But by the grace of God. I'm not some strong super saint going from victory to victory. It's God's grace. And if there's anything happening that's the upward pull, if I'm forward sliding, it's because of God's grace, not because of my effort. And the minute I think I just got it together, I find myself face down again in the dirt when pride comes in and I start telling people how I got it together. Or I start thinking, I may not even tell anybody, I'll just start thinking, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Praise God, I'm a man of faith. Woo, my prayers got answered. Woo, that was a good insight into the Word, Brother Kirk. And just when I get to that place, pride is just crouching at the door, ready for me to trip and fall again. And then the enemy's right there to say, doesn't even have to say it. Just that look he looks at me. Is that the right?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had to do it with one hand or the other to get the letter in the right direction. So let him who stands take heed lest he falls. Now listen to the next verses. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. If you have the New King James Version, I want you to read that with me. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And what did that verse just say? The Holy Spirit, the provision that God's given us in our life, is to help us in such a way that we can navigate through the very trials and temptations of our life and not fall into the mire. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the things that we could not do because of the weakness of our flesh, God is fulfilling those in us through the power of His Spirit. I can't do it, and you can't do it, but Jesus in you and Jesus in me can do it. And every time the world comes at me with a temptation, God's Spirit comes upon me and gives me a choice. I have two doors to go through. And when I neglect the door of His Spirit, and sometimes that's just crying out and hanging on to the horns of the altar. Do you hear what I'm saying? In Old Testament terms. Just grabbing on and saying, I'm not letting go until I receive mercy from God. I'm not letting go. I told you the story last week of that night in that hotel room in Vegas and how I didn't even know what I was going to do. But here was Richie Cunningham in Vegas ready to sin. I got shaved. I got my cologne on. I got dressed. I was going to go sin. I didn't even know what I was going to do. But I just wanted to do. I had the lights and everything. And I put my hand on that doorknob. And when I went to turn it, I felt the Lord say, if you go out there, it's going to destroy you. And I didn't do anything really admirable. All I did was get on my knees and just say, Lord, give me grace. I'm not going out that door. Wasn't great victory because I wanted to go out that door. Do you hear what I'm telling you? The victory was God's alone, and it was me saying, I'm just going to hang here. I'm not going to go through. That was my opportunity. I had two choices, out the door or stay in the room. And I chose at that moment to stay in the room. We have a choice. When I get in my car and I start to drive to that place, I have a choice on whether I'm driving to that place or not. When I turn that key on, I know where I want to go, but I have a choice not to get in that car. When I go to a hotel room traveling, I have a choice to first turn on the television and go to the controls and block all the adult programs. So that if I was tempted to sin, I'd have to call up the operator and say, would you reinstate the TV? And they would look, oh, you want the adult programs? Yeah. So am I so strong that that would never tempt me? No. I know I have a choice, and I make the choice when I block the stuff. I make a choice when I put a filter on my computer. I make a choice when I decide, even with Netflix, when I set it up. I was disappointed last night. I have Maverick, in my instant queue to play through my Roku player. And I was tired after these guys entertaining these young people all night. And I just wanted to watch a Maverick. I wanted to see Brett Maverick. And I turned it on, and it said, I'm sorry, but your parental control level will not allow you to watch this episode. I went, it's Maverick, for goodness sakes. But here's the deal. They didn't rate the programs back then. And it was NR, not rated. And my controls block anything that's NR. And so I thought, I'm going to go unblock that because I really want to watch Maverick. Then something said to me, uh-uh, you ain't. There's a reason why you blocked that. And if you open the door, you may walk through it. So I said, okay. Now see, I know you. Some of you would rather have a pastor who's just walking up here telling you that it was because of my time of prayer and the Holy Ghost came upon me and now I'm walking above all this stuff and it's all below and I never fall in it again. No, it's practical, brothers and sisters. Listen, you got to do what God tells you to do. There's a door to go through of opportunity to escape. And when he says escape, just like, let me tell you, don't think Pharaoh's wife was pretty. How many of you think Pharaoh's wife was pretty? I can't see Pharaoh taking an ugly bride. Can you imagine with all these women in Egypt to choose, going, I'll take the ugly one. I'll make her queen. See, you never hear Billy Graham say anything like this. That's what I'm talking about. So I say, I'll take the ugly one. And so the ugly one's in there every day when Joseph's attending to the house, and the ugly one keeps trying to seduce Joseph. No, it was the gorgeous one, for goodness sake. And Joseph, do you think him? He was a young man. He maybe been 19 or 20. Let me tell you, you're a 19 or 20-year-old man. You're not married. I mean, you know, there's something going on in you that's not going on in me. And so Joseph, he was tempting. I'm just being honest about it, man. So Joseph, he was tempted, right? What did Joseph do? He fleed. Says he left his robe behind. That's what got him incriminated and thrown back into prison again. You make the choice to escape. And I want to tell you, there's never a time when you're tempted that God, through the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit, does not give you the avenue of escape. It's always there, but you have to be looking for it. It's always there. So don't be like, now you guys are not even going to recognize this, Flip Wilson. There was this comedian when I was young. That's how old I am. And his whole comedy bit was, the devil made me do it. And you know what? We've adopted that as Christians. Well, I couldn't help it. The devil made me do it. No, your flesh yielded and neglected to take the avenue of escape that God gave you. I've done the same thing. I'm not talking down to you. I'm just telling you we have an avenue of escape. And it's the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. The question at hand is this. Hey, we're going to finish part one. I hope that's okay with you guys. Let me tell you something. This is important stuff. This is so important that I'm willing to camp out and I'm willing to go really slow because I realized in talking to people over and over again how much it trips us up. The question at hand is, how will we navigate through it? by ourselves, our own strength, our own wisdom, or by the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Luke 3, 21 to 22 says, and I love this. A lot of people have this image. Here's how Jesus got baptized. He went in, you know, and then John baptized him, brought him up. The dove came down. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And that was it. No, I love what Luke tells us something else. It says Jesus went into the water. And yes, he was baptized by John as to set the pathway of righteousness for us. And then it says, while he was praying. Remember how I told you all the different gospel records give us different pictures? It says, while Jesus was praying, the Holy Spirit came upon him. The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form like a dove. Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, good gifts. Now, when it's Hannah's birthday, I don't want to give her a crummy gift. Yeah, like, here's my old Polaroid camera. You can't buy film for it anymore, but it might look really neat on your shelf. You know, I mean, I don't want to give her. It says we know how to give them good gifts. Here's a Pez dispenser. And he says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you look on our wall, the four-square church is identified by four symbols. The symbol of the cross, the symbol of the dove, the symbol of the cup, and the symbol of the crown. We proclaim Jesus Christ as our only means of salvation. He is our Savior. We proclaim that Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. We proclaim that there are gifts available in the Spirit, and one of those is Jesus Christ manifesting as our healer in our lives, and we proclaim that he is our soon coming King. Here's the deal. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't asked God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't, and it's not, I'm not talking, yes, do tongues come with it? Yes, the gift of praying in the Spirit. But people jump right to tongues and they focus on that. Let's just put that off to the side just for a moment. Do I believe in it? Yes. Does God want to give you that gift? Yes. But even more, I want to focus on what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about. When you are saved as a believer, the Bible says that you receive the Spirit of God into your heart. And in my pastor's class, what I like to do is I like to take a can of Coke. I wish I would have had it for the front row here, because I always get a real reaction. And I take that can, I shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. And then I point it at somebody, and what do they do? Because you know what would happen if I went... See, there's a difference between having the Spirit of God in your life and the Spirit of God flowing out of your life in power. Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. It's got to be in there first if it's going to flow out of there, right? So first of all, you got to be a believer. But then as a believer, you've got to open up to the fullness of the Spirit, and you've got to say, oh, Father God, give me the fullness of your Spirit. And the Bible says he won't give you a serpent. He won't give you a stone. He will give you what you ask. And that's his provision for living the victorious life. You can only forward slide in the power of the Spirit. And so if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you need him as your Savior. And if you know him as your Savior, but you're not walking in his power, you need him as your baptizer in the Holy Spirit. There are gifts that come with that. And one of that is a wonderful privilege to pray in another language that you don't know and to have spiritual communication with God. But let me tell you, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit for a long time before that even happened to me, because I had a lot of baggage. So we get so hung up on this thing, and people, and I say, you know what? I've got a good father. Do you have a good father? And everything he wants to give me is good. So I want it all. I remember, and this is my last point, when I would go to the Clifton Cafeteria in Pomona, California. You remember Clifton Cafeteria after church? And they had a treasure chest. Woo! You ate there. Did you go there, Al? Yeah. And you ate your dinner. If you ate it all up, you got to go to the treasure chest. Well, at least that's what my parents said. They probably would have let me go anyway. But you eat it all up, you get to go to the treasure chest. I didn't just want one toy. I wanted them all. I remember one time I started scooping them up. Mom says, you get one. So I took the water bow tie. Yeah, I did. I'm not kidding you. I filled it up with water. I had the little squeezer in my pocket. I put the bow tie on. I went to class the next day, and the teacher said, "Oh, Kirk, you really look nice. Look at everybody. Kirk's wearing a tie." And so they came up, and I went, "Squirt, squirt, squirt, squirt." Had to give up the bow tie. God is... God wants to give you good things. And all that's in His Word and all that's by His Spirit is good. So Eddie, would you come up? And Chuck, would you come up? And I want us just to... I want you to do that song, In the Hands of God. And I want us to stand. Can we stand together? And here's the deal. All you have to do is place yourself in the hands of God. Place yourself in His hands for salvation. Place yourself in His hands for the fullness of His Holy Spirit. Place yourself in His hands for the gifts of the Spirit to begin flowing freely out of your life. Place yourself in His hands for healing to flow into your life. Place yourself in His hands for freedom to flow into your life. Father, as we come to sing this song together, as just a cry of our heart in our close of this morning's time of ministry, would You do in each one of our lives that which is needful, that which You are directing, and bring us into Your fullness, into Your presence.
I fall down upon my face before You. Open up my heart for You to see. Find the thing my life what You need it to be. I lay all I have in hand before You. Take me now to life I have is only what You gave me. The life I want is Jesus revealed. In the hands of God I found the life I searched for oh so long. Takes away my fears and gives me peace. In the hands of God I found the strength I need to carry on. Fills me with His love and sets me free.
We gotta get in the hands of God.
In the hands of God I found the life I searched for oh so long. Takes away my fears and gives me peace. In the hands of God I found the strength I need to carry on. love and set me free.
Hallelujah.
Fills me with His love and sets me free.
Lord, now pour out Your love upon these people, those who have cried out from their hearts saying, I want Jesus as my Savior. Those who have cried out from their hearts said, oh, Father, fill me from my inmost being with this river of living water. Let it flow from me. Let the power of Your Spirit become released in my life. Let all the gifts of Your Spirit become flowing into my life. I open myself up to You, Father God, for You are good and Your mercy endureth forever. Lord, do the work in each one here that You have delighted to do, even from the foundation of the world. And seal it with Your precious promise that You will never leave us nor forsake us, and that You will watch over that which You have begun in our lives, and You will also complete it. Now bless Your people as they go. Altar prayer team members will come forward, and if there's anyone who needs personal ministry this morning, there'll be some people up here to pray for you. But now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. Go and be blessed of the Lord. Walk in victory in Jesus' name. Amen.